Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we bless your name. Thank you for the strength, the grace. Thank you for bringing us here to retreat. I pray, Lord, we will not retreat back into our disobedience, to anything that didn't please you after this one. But you help us to keep on the firing line. It is required in stewards, the man be found faithful. May we be found so. So we will win the crown. When we are tempted, when we are hard pressed, when the heat seems to be too hard to bear, when the enemy is beckoning on us to chicken out, Lord, the grace to keep on the firing line, you will abundantly supply. Our hearts are presented to you. Lord, have your way and use it as you will and may. In Jesus' name, we pray. We have this final message of the retreat, and I want to commend you for being faithful and enduring to the end. I pray you will not lose your reward in Jesus' name. Our message is titled Faithfulness to God in Perilous Times. Faithfulness, fidelity to God in perilous times. Let's turn our Bibles to Revelation as we read from the verse numbered, the chapter numbered 2 and the verse 8. Revelation chapter 2, the verse is 8. We are told, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things said the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, but I also know your tribulation. I know your poverty, but in my sight, thou art rich. I know also the blasphemy of them who say they are Jews, who say they are Christians, who say I was there when the church was started, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. They are running errand for their real father. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. And yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And the word shall means that it's not optional, it's part of the package. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Don't chicken out. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful, Lord, for how long during the retreat? On Sundays, when we have a conference, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. The tribulation is short. It's for 10 days. It's only for a while. But the crown The reward is eternal. It is a crown of life and for life. And it is only the faithful who will get to the finish line, who will breast the cape, who will get this crown. In chapter 3, we are told from verse 1, unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things say he that has the seven spirits of God, the all-knowing God, the all-seeing God, and seven stars, I know thy works. Thou hast a name that thou livest. You have a name, brother, pastor, overseer, sister. You have a name that you live, but you are spiritually dead. You are out of coverage area. You can't be reached. You only have a semblance of Christianity, but there is no substance in it. You have a name that you live, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Pastor said, wonderful sister. Pastor said, oh, bro, I understand this. But I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and firm, and repent. Don't rebel. Repent. Why does he talk to me like I don't want to listen to anything like this? Repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. In the message just gone by, we heard so much about this. Thou hast a few names, a few faithful people in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. It is only they that shall walk with me in white. They are in the minority. They are few. But they shall walk with me in white. And the reason is that they are worthy. It's not favoritism. I'm not discriminating. They are worthy. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will blot out his name. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. What about those who don't overcome? What about those who are not faithful? What about those who will not hold on to their convictions to the end? What about those who will surrender when the enemy comes to try for that 10 days of tribulation? You couldn't get through it. I will blot out his name out of the book of life. Nothing like eternal security. It was there before, but they couldn't get to the finish line. There's no medal for them. There's no crown to me. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. In verse 12, him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. I will write upon him my new name. He that has an ear, let him Hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, write these things, says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. Now we see in these passages that the times will be tough. Tribulation will come. Challenges will come. Our faith will be put to the test. But in all these, the Lord still calls us to faithfulness. We know we are in the perilous times. Every good student of the Bible should know. And the things that the scriptures have said, they have been played out before our very eyes. You see, faithfulness to God is fast becoming an endangered species. They all seek their own, not the things of Christ. And it is facing extinction. But in the midst of all this, the Lord still had faithful Matthias. He had the Antipas. They stood, but they are only in the minority. And the Lord has always worked with the minority. We see age-old Christian convictions. They are not only being shaken, but are increasingly being abandoned. That was for the 1980s. That was when we're in Africa. It's a civilized world now. Many a Christian is playing the chameleon to survive and to outsmart the perilous times. But the fact is that God still remains eternally faithful. And he tells us in 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abideth eternally faithful. He cannot deny himself. The question is your anchor holding in these storms of the Christian life? In these perilous times, when it tells us that we must be careful with our lives. For Christ's sake, because it will seem, and it will not only seem, it is actually the case that they are the only one life, only lives we are going to have in this puzzling and perilous world. That's a fact that we cannot deny. But let's look at the chilling facts about the perilous times, the sobering, the shocking facts, the fearful facts about the perilous times that the Lord is calling us to reflect on. In Matthew chapter 24, the verse is 9. Matthew 24, the verse is 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. We heard it in Revelation. Okay, there's something, kill some will die just for the faith. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And they shall be, and then shall many be offended. Those who can't stand shall be offended and betray one another and blame one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many, not few, shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many was cold. The love of many a Christian was cold. The love for God and the things of God. It's 25th December. It's Christmas. Why should I still stay here? Oh, I was not you before. The love of many will wax cold, but the faithful few who shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I have a few names in Sardis. They have not defiled themselves. They shall walk with me in white. They are worthy. And we also see the few who will endure to the end. In 2 Timothy, the chapter is 3, the verse is 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. We can't do anything about it. You know, Paul said this before to Timothy. And years later, Christ came. Christ revealed it to John also, to the churches. We read about a while ago. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Women shall be lovers of their own selves. There was so much, you know, care for the me, my will be too much. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent. They don't have control. That thing must be gratified here and now, incontinent. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Despisers of those who will tell them the truth. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness, but the substance is missing. They will still claim to be Christians. They'll still show up in church when it's convenient. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such people, turn away because they are not serious. And evil communication corrupts good manners. For of this sort are they which creep into houses. How are they creeping? In the past, they had to be physically there. But now, they don't need to be physically present. They can creep through WhatsApp, Facebook, TikTok, name it. They creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. They are ever learning. I was reading about this one, and this professor said that I heard this one, this pastor, this minister. I was listening to this one on YouTube. Ever learning and never able to come to the fundamental basic truth, knowledge of the truth. Now, as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. They know the truth, but they resist it with their own opinions, doing their own interpretation on the scriptures. They resist the truth. And the reason why is that their minds are corrupt. Men of correct minds reprobate concerning the faith. But the Lord says in verse 9, they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. This perilous time we are talking about, what does it mean? They are grievous, hard to bear, distressing, and difficult times. And from where we read, we see it plainly that indeed will be the case. In chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, the verse is 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You don't need to tell anybody to tell you that that time is here. They will not endure sound doctrine. But what will they do after their own lusts? Shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears? They want to listen to this. You know, all that we have listened to this, to at this retreat alone. You haven't even had time to go over it and meditate over it. You are jumping to, oh, another ministry. Yeah, it's coming up. I need to log on to that one. I need to listen to this one. What have you done with all that you have heard? As if that is not enough. Itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And when you turn your ears from the truth, you would rather be fed with fables, with stories, which have no scriptural grounding. Sadly so. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, the Lord has not left us in confusion, that in the latter times, in the perilous times, some shall depart from the faith. It will happen, but it shouldn't be you. Some shall depart from the faith. And what would they rather do? Giving heed to seducing, enticing spirits and doctrines of devils, of demons from the pit of hell. If you depart from the faith, you are either on the Lord's side or on the devil's side. And if you depart from sound doctrine, what else are you going to have? You rather embrace doctrines of demons. And then you don't know where you go and pick that from. You come, so the scripture. I was listening to one preacher and he said this and he said that. Yeah, I know we believe in this, but this person also said, where are you picking all those things from? Doctrines of demons. And they will speak lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, from food, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Many will abandon the faith and their convictions. because of persecution and because of hardship. We see that false doctrine will be very popular, while sound doctrine will sadly be unpopular. We are increasingly going to see selfishness, self-love, self-will, faithfulness to God would be very expensive. And only a select few would want to pay the price and buy it. And not only buy it, own it. As A.W. Pink tells us, that faithful people have always been in a marked minority. They are always few. I have a few name in Sardis. Few faithful. I pray the Lord will count you among the few. In our second point of discussion, we are looking at carnality and fickleness in perilous times. They are the signs of the times. What can we tell about this group? How do they show? How do they carry themselves? Let's look at the genesis of this genesis of carnality and fickleness. Genesis 49. Let's read from verse 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourself together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. We are privileged to be gathered here. And the Lord has been telling and revealing to us through his servant the things of the last days. Gather yourself together and hear. Yeah, I am there. I joined. Didn't you see me? But did you hear? Did you hear? Are you hearing? Hear, you sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel, your father. Reuben, the rooker, the firstborn. Thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. I'm sure Reuben was nodding. Yes, that's me. That's me. Reuben, you only have a name that you exist, but you are dead firstborn. I was there. I was the first person to set foot in that location, and that church, I got that church established there. What is it now? Verse 4. Unstable as water. You will not excel. Sadly, you are carnal. You've been fickle. Thou shalt not excel. And the reason is that you couldn't control this carnality. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Unstable Christians cannot excel. Carnal Christians cannot be used of God. The Lord will not use a fickle instrument. Let's do a short exercise. Pick your phone. Don't go to Facebook or check. Just let one or two check the meaning of fecal. If you want to check from your dictionary, if you want to Google it, please do. And when you are done, just unmute and tell us what it means, fecal. Who is helping us? Fickle.
It says taken frequently, especially as regards one loyalty or affections.
Thank you, Pastor. Please repeat it for us.
Changing frequently, especially as regards one loyalties or affections.
God bless you. Any other dictionary or definition for us?
According to Merriam-Webster, it says, marked by lack of steadfastness, constancy, or stability, given to erratic changeableness.
Thank you, Pastor. Reuben, unstable as water, you will not excel. You are fickle. Is your own conscience like that? You've been taught the basic fundamental doctrine, but you are always changing. And you go, yeah, this Christian dressing thing they are talking, this reality, and then you always come back. Yeah, I understand now. Tomorrow you come back. Unstable as water, you will not excel. 15 years, you are still battling with Christian dressing. How do you excel? But let's see something in 1 Chronicles chapter 5. 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, the title. I was the firstborn. But for as much as he deferred his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel. Unstable as water, you will not excel. And the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. Verse 2. For Judah prevailed above his brethren, and became the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph's. How this I was the first to be. And why did they choose this person? And then she just came, and they made her this, and then. For the genealogy is not to be reckoned by birthrights. Judah. And if you look at the Chronicles, the chronicler began to give us the genealogy of Judah before he came to Reuben. Unstable, carnal. He didn't excel. And you could see, his position couldn't really amount to anything. When Joseph were, I mean, the brothers of Joseph were demanding that, oh, they go with Benjamin. Reuben said, if we go with Benjamin and Benjamin doesn't return, you can kill my son. You can't just take my son. You can't kill my son. What? It was Judah who stood out and said something sensible that convinced Jacob to release Benjamin. And you could see when they got to Joseph, it was Judah who was just leading everything. When they appeared before Pharaoh, it was Judah. And you say, ah, but the Lord has said the Messiah will come from Judah. Not at this point. Not in Genesis 44. In Genesis, the earlier, that prophecy had not yet come. But his fickleness and carnality robbed him of that position. Unstable as water, he will not excel. I pray this will not be our lot. Ruth, chapter 1, verses 8. And Naomi spoke to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people, surely. Papa, you say this? Yeah, but you know, the times have changed. It's perilous times, and you need wisdom. But you said surely. No, we may not return. We will not return. Sorry, we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters, why will you go with me? And there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I'm too old. When she began to show them the peril, the tribulation, the struggle, the hardship, if I should say, I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and she also bears sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieved me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah, who had said in verse 10, surely I will return with you, now kiss your mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth cleaved unto her. Faithfulness in perilous times. Orpah couldn't withstand the peril. Surely, that prayer you made years ago, that promise you made years ago to God, where is that? I pray you will return. You will not have and allow the peril to have the better parts of your life. In John 6, 6, chapter 6, John chapter 6, the verse is 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? This is a hard saying in deeper life. Who should listen to this in this 21st century? Augmented reality, artificial intelligence, world. When we, the metaverse, call it what you may. And then, Pastor will say, I think we are being too hard. You see, the environment that we find ourselves, we need to, you know, we can't still keep this thing. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? Does this offend you? And then you go to the pastor and say, Pastor, yeah. When you were preaching the other day, the thing you said, I thought at least you could have been a bit, you were too direct and too sharp, and so you could have been a little bit gentle. How dare you? Are you going to guard the pastor? Are you going to change his message? That he preached too hard? Does this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, if you will listen, they are spirit and they are life, whether it is hard or soft. But there are some of you that believe not, sadly. They heard, they were with me, they were disciples, but they believe not. Yeah, I am there, I'm part of them, but you know, I have my own opinion. They believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believe not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, the fickle and the carnal. From that time, the fickle and the carnal. Many of his disciples went back. You see, that the people who can always stand the heat are many, and it's only the few faithful who stand the heat. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So, I think this message I preached was too hard. Look at the church now. And then I asked this, and he said, yeah, I asked them. They said that they don't like an environment where it's always sin, and they come to church and they always feel like they are sinners. Verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Will you join the masses? Will you also go away? I pray you play the Peter. In verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? And the reason is that thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe. That conviction is still there. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Is that your conviction? Do you believe that the doctrines that have been shown to you from the scriptures are sound doctrine? We will believe and we will stay with the Lord, and the Lord will stay with us, the fickle and the carnal. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, the verse is 3. 1 Timothy 6, the verse is 3. If any man teach otherwise, if any man tries to put their own interpretation and consent not to wholesome, sound words and doctrine, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud. She is proud, knowing nothing. Knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmises. Now, what kind of people are they really are? Verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute, bereft of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. God will bless me. God has blessed me with a wife. God has blessed me with children. God has blessed me with a good job. I have a house. Isn't this wonderful? Yes, it's wonderful. Supposing that gain is godliness. I know your poverty, but thou art rich. You say you don't need anything, but thou art poor. You are miserable. You are blind. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such, withdraw yourself. Don't company with them. Withdraw thyself. But we just have to be nice to people. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through. They will not tell you that one. They will tell you, gain is godliness. Pierce themselves through with many sorrows. You may see them outwardly and covet their toys, but they are piercing themselves through with many sorrows. 2 Timothy, the fickle and the carnal. 2 Timothy. The chapter is 4 and the verse is 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Timothy, we read about him. That I have no man who will naturally care for your state. Timothy. Now, so I'm reflecting on this. That as Dorcas was sick, as Epaphroditus was sick, Timothy was not only even sick, he was actually sickly. And Paul said that because of your often, stomach ailment, don't just drink water. And, you know, drunkards, that's the best verse they like in the Bible, although they don't understand the context. For Demas has forsaken me, but you, Timothy, do your diligence, come shortly unto me. But the notice is too short. Paul, come shortly unto me. For Demas has forsaken me. Carnal, fickle Demas has forsaken me. And because gain is godliness, having loved this present world. They that use this world as not abusing it, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. We don't know what court. And this Thessalonica, there was church there. And we don't know what else caught his attention in Thessalonica. That he was not even going there to strengthen the brethren, he was in Thessalonica. He's in a location where the church is there, but he doesn't care. Christians unto Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring with him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Mark was once carnal and fickle. He couldn't stand the heat, but he didn't remain the same. Bring Mark, for he is profitable. Maybe you have been fickle in the past. You can change your story. If Mark didn't return and change from this carnality and fickleness, we wouldn't have had this beautiful gospel of Mark we read about. There is hope. You know, those who are carnal, they are only preoccupied with earthly things. although they may show a semblance of Christianity. The carnal and fickle are like, they are chameleon-like Christians. Now look at that chameleon on the tree. You see that the color of that chameleon is just the same as that tree. When it gets into a different environment, it picks the same color. And that's the chameleon Christian. They know how to play it smart. You meet them in church on Sunday, they know how to fit in. But in another environment, they know how to fit there. Not for good, but for evil. Carnal and fickle. They can't excel. They are the ones who easily kiss the Lord goodbye in tough times like Oba. Those who are carnal, they take decisions only based on their senses, like Reuben. Just the sense moved him. And he went to his father's couch. They are not, you know, waiting on God for his will, not the spirit direction, no. It's just my intuition, my hunch. That is what guides them. Tozer is telling us that the man who is elated by success and is cast down by failure, by peril, that person is still a carnal man, a carnal woman. At best, his fruit will have a worm in it. This will not be our story. Let's wrap up with a call. Having seen the chilling facts, having seen how carnal and fickle people are, and in fact will become, what is God calling on you and me to do? What is our charge? The call to faithfulness. What is our own charge? Ruth, chapter 1, the verse is 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth cleave unto her. Faithfulness, faithfulness, cleave unto your God. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. Not I may go, I will. Where thou lodgest, I will lord. Not I may lord. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. And he hadn't known that God. That's a Moabite. Where thou diest, I will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me. He does swear it to his own head and changeth not. And more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she loved speaking unto her. And the people who are trying to distract you, may they see your steadfastness and your conviction that you are not ready to trade it for anything. First Timothy, what is the charge to us? First Timothy chapter 6, the verse is 6. First Timothy 6, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. What will help us to keep our faithfulness to God. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. and having food, and let us there be, let us be there with content, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight. Keep on the fiery line. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou hast called and hast professed the good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot. Thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. King of kings and Lord of lords. Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. What is the call and the charge? Thou therefore, my son Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Otherwise, you can't survive the perilous time. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. Don't change anything. The same commit thou to faithful men, faithful women. The torch that have been passed on to you, the baton that has been passed on to you, you know a relay race. It doesn't matter how fast the one who passed the baton on is. If the one who received the baton plays with the baton, that is the end of the game for that team. Commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also the same old doctrines. Thou therefore endure hardness. Not, we don't enjoy hardness, we endure. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no man that warreth as a soldier entangled himself with the affairs of this life. And the reason is that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man strive for masteries, if a man is in a competition, he is not crowned until he strive lawfully. That is the charge. Verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things. Timothy, I'm not giving you theory. I'm not hypocritical. I am calling you to endure because I'm enduring. I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He cannot deny himself. In chapter 4. Chapter 4. This one. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word in perilous times. And we heard evangelism today. Preach the word. Be instant in season. Summer, spring, autumn, winter. Out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But you, watch in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have been faithful. And I'm only looking forward to that crown, which we heard about in Revelation. And the Lord will give it to us. The Lord wants us to be faithful and not be fickle. He is faithful. And like Job, we should be able to say that my righteousness I hold fast. I will not let it go. That is faithfulness in perilous times. The church that is gone, the believers that have gone ahead of us, the triumphant church, were very faithful. And they are looking at us, the cloud of witnesses. We are the militant church, still fighting. They want us to emulate them so we can join the happy throne at last in heaven. As we prepare to play, you see this animal in your shorts. It is called the Emin, Emin, E-R-M-I-N-E. It's majorly found in North America. And they used to hunt it. I don't know if they still do it today with all the animal rights and all that. But those, it's a delicacy. Those who hunt for the ermine, they only hunt it by, you know, looking for their holes where they sleep, and then they smear that with that substance, call it bitumen or whatever. And then they set dogs after them, and they know how to run. And when the ermine is being pursued, it will go back home, wanting to go back home. But when it is about to enter that hole and it sees that dark substance there, it will never enter. Because it is going to soil its pure fur, F-U-R. And it will just be hovering around, that's how they manage to hunt the ermine. My righteousness I hold fast, I will not let it go. Pastor, please take it out.
Brethren, the Lord has spoken. We want to go before God in prayer. The Lord requires faithfulness from us. I want us to commit the word that the Lord has spoken unto us. Faithfulness to God in perilous times. You want to commit your heart to the Lord? You want to pray, God, I want to be faithful. The Lord still requires faithfulness from us. He told us that tribulation is just for 10 days. It's just for a while, but the crown is for life. Whatever we may be going through for the sake of righteousness is just for a while. Whatever the world may be attempting to throw at us is just for a while. The Lord has told us that be faithful, therefore, even unto death, even unto death, and he will give unto us the crown of life. Let's pray, God, I will stand. Brethren, after hearing God's word today, as he gave us this message to wrap up the retreat, you want to pray, God, I will hold on. Lord, I will hold on. Lord, I will hold on. We have the cloud of witnesses, the Ruth, and all the men in the scriptures that stood even unto death. Stephen, brethren, it is our time. It is our time. I want us to pray and tell the Lord, God, help me. Lord, help me to stand. Lord, help me to overcome. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed with white raiment. There are lots ahead of us. Brethren, the crown that awaits us is glorious. We want to pray, oh God, help me. That is why we came, to receive strength from Emmanuel. And indeed, he has come to strengthen us. Paul told Timothy, as our pastor read to us, be strong in the grace that is in Christ. Be strong. There is the grace of God available for us to finish. Let's pray, God, I will finish well. Lord, I will finish well. Pray that God, here I am, this evening, this moment before you. The Lord still calls us to be faithful. No matter the time we find ourselves, this is prophetic. We are in perilous time and there's nothing we can do about it. There's only one thing the Lord requires from us, is to be faithful. We have seen the chilling facts about perilous times. Our pastor told us these are grievous moments. These are moments of distress. These are difficult times. Sometimes you may be faced with one challenge or the other, and it appears as if your life, the breath in you is going out. But the Lord is telling us we should be faithful. We are in the era of false doctrine. And the word of God has spoken to us that we should be watchful. We should stay put to the truth of the word of God. It is true. The Bible said that men shall have itching ears. Brethren, we can see many people don't want to hear the truth. A lot. The word of God told us many people, and even in the time of Christ, look at what he told the disciples. Will you also go away? A lot of people. And you know, it was shocking to see that disciples, many disciples left. Many. But it's only the few. From the time of Christ, it's only the few. Have you want to pray, God, help me to be among the few? There is grace available. Let's pray, God, I will stand. Peter said, to whom shall we go? You only have the words of life. To whom? Let's pray and tell the Lord that, God, let this be our story. Let this be us. Our pastor told us that we ought to play the Peter. We should pray God to be the Peter. To whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? Whatever the Lord has told us in his word, there's grace available. His intention is not to drive us away. His intention is for us to accept the truth, no matter how it may look like. Pray that you will not chicken out. Brethren, imagine we come into retreat hearing God's word from the beginning. Look at how God has been speaking to us all through, and see how he has spoken to us now. There's glory ahead. Imagine after all these things, are we going to join the people that will live and live walking with Christ? Or we are going to be among the few? Let's pray, God help me. We are in a world of self-love. We are in a world of false teaching. We are in a world people are forbidden to marry, hypocrisy, all kinds of things. These are not new. The Lord has spoken to us through his word. And when we see them coming, we should understand that the end is near. Let's pray, God help me. I want to be faithful. If you will be determined this evening, if you will call on God, God, whatever it is, I will stand. Whatever it is, I will stand. For since the time of John the Baptist, the Bible said the kingdom of God suffered violence. And the violence, we take it by force. The Lord has told us it will not be all rosy. The scripture told us that he will cast some of us into prison, even some to be delivered to be killed. But we should still stand. We should still stand. Are we going to be carnal and fickle in these end times? We saw examples. Reuben, how unstable he was. Reuben was unstable. Unstable as water. Church, the Bible said the truth shall set us free. And we want to tell the Lord, God, help me to embrace the truth, to love the truth, to not repel the truth, to not mutilate the truth, to not, twist the truth in any way. But we will embrace the truth through the grace of God to abide by the truth. This is what will set us free. This is what will take us to heaven. There's a tribulation coming. We heard from the word of God, our pastor preached to us. We can't afford to choose that one compared to the perilous time that we find ourselves. Let's ask God, God, I need your grace. God, I need your grace. God, I need your grace. If you will make up our mind, his grace is sufficient for us. His grace is ever sufficient for you, my brother, my sister. His grace is sufficient for us. We don't want to be like Oprah, making a promise. And yet he had to kiss Naomi goodbye. Many people start well. Many people begin when it's all good. But there was a quote our pastor wrote to us, that whoever is only elated by success and is cast down by failure is still a carnal man. Let's pray, God help me. We don't want to be that kind of people that are only following Christ when everything is well. Let's pray, God help me. Whatever it is, like Ruth decided, wherever you die, I will die. Even though it appeared there was no hope for Ruth, Naomi made it clear to her. How can you even wait, even if I give birth to a son? It was just impossible. But this woman, I don't know what he saw, but she was faithful. Brethren, we are better off because Christ has given us a promise that he will give us a fine linen. He will write our name on a precious stone. Let's pray, God, help me to finish well. Help me to finish well. Help me to finish well. Let's pray, Jesus told the disciples, "This word that I speak unto you, they are spirits and they are life." That is God's word. Let's pray, God, help me. You don't want to be like Demas, the one who forsake the Lord. He forsook the Lord. He loved this present world. What are the things that has been making us carnal? Pray, God, today I give up all. Today I give up all and I open up my heart to you. Brethren, pray. Praying this word into your heart, into your spirit, till the Lord make you strong. You know, as the word of God went on, I heard, you know, this man, Timothy, I even tried to Google to check that Timothy was even someone who was like a sickler. And yet, he was called to be a soldier. Sometimes we look at our physical strength and appears we are unable. But brethren, there's a crown for us. There's still a crown for us. And Paul told him, be strong in the grace of God, the grace that is in Christ. By the grace of God, we will finish. By the grace of God, we can endure. By the grace of God, we can fight. Not by our strength, by the grace of God. That is why God is calling you and I. Pray and tell the Lord, God, I will stand. By the grace of God, pray and tell the Lord to help you. Pray and tell the Lord to give you grace. There's a call to faithfulness, godliness with contentment. The Bible says it's great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We will not look back. We will not look back. I want you to tell God, God, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Brethren, it is time to make a decision. It is time to embrace the help of God. It is time to embrace. Renew your mind and make up your mind that you are going to follow the Lord to the end, no matter what happened. No matter the pain you endure. Tell God, God, give me a reason to endure. You know, many times when we are faced with challenges, we easily forget. We easily forget ourselves. We easily forget the crown. Oh, but we pray God should help us. How we seek the Lord, that God help me. God help me so that my eye will always be on the crown. Keep on the fiery light. Keep on. We have come too far to look back. Look at all the things you have endured in the past. Is it now that we are going to look back? No. We have come long enough. Very soon, we will go and receive our reward. And if for whatever reason, we have been dancing on the line, we have been rising and falling and, you know, allowing the world to still choke us. Brethren, the Lord has made his word clear to us. We don't have any excuse when the Lord meets us in that state. Look at the words that we have heard throughout this retreat. Pray that God help me. And let these words continue to abide in your spirit. Meditating on it, even as you may be running up from this retreat, we will continue to be meditating, to be praying, to be seeking the face of God. Until we've gotten to the point that nothing of the enemy will be able to push us back. Pray that God will help you. Pray that every word of God you have heard, the Lord will inspire you, help you to keep them. You want to worship the Lord? For all these words of life he has given us. You want to thank God for his love for us. He has given us the right diet we need. The Lord has given us the right medicine. You know, we don't take medicine just because of its taste. It might be sour in the mouth, but we know this is what will heal. And the Lord has visited us. You want to worship him. You want to thank him for his spirit, for how he spoke to us throughout this retreat. And even now, let's honor him. Let's thank him. Let's exalt him and promise him that, God, we have heard your word. We will keep this word. Give me the grace to stand by your word in the name of Jesus. Honor him. Worship him. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Our gracious God in heaven, we want to thank you. Lord, what can we say? Indeed, you love us. And indeed, your plan for us is wonderful. Lord, it is only when we get to heaven before we know and fully comprehend how much of love you had for us. That even while we are yet sinners, Christ came to die for us. And he has brought us to this point. You've quickened and helped us. I pray, Lord, every word that you've given us in this retreat, let it bear fruit in our lives in Jesus' name. Lord, we have heard your word to be faithful. Even in these perilous times, Father, we ask that the fortitude, the spirit, the grace you gave Paul, you gave Timothy, you gave Ruth, you gave, Lord, these militant men of God, that they were able to finish well. Lord, we ask for that same grace. Grant each and every one of us that has called your name in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, may we continue to remain with you, abide with you, until we find ourselves with you in the air on the rapture. Lord, don't leave any of us. Oh, Emmanuel, abide with us. Emmanuel, help us. Because for this reason, you came for us. The Bible said, Lord, for you are able to save us to the uttermost that come to God through Christ. Jesus, save your people to the uttermost in Jesus' name. Give us the strength to fight on like you helped the saints of old. Be with us, Lord, even as we bring this retreat to an end. Continue with us, even as we continue even in the crusade. Keep on pushing us till we arrive. We thank you, everlasting God, for hearing us this moment. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. And church, if you are here, I want you to unmute your mic with full of joy and appreciate God. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.